just like wonder, is there going to come a time where she will need to do like an expose on herself to keep her identity a secret? Is there going to come a time where, like, I'm just very interested. In a lot of ways, I like that we know who Lady Whistledown is.
Welcome back to Qualified-ish, the bi-weekly podcast that talks all about movies and TV shows created by qualified creators but hosted by an unqualified lover of film. I am your host, Kira Menez. This week, I am joined by my close friend, Lorette Hanna. Lorette graduated with a degree in political science and psychology at the University of Washington in 2020 and currently works in that area. Today, we are here to discuss one of our favorite quarantine watches of last year, Bridgerton.
Thank you, Lorette, for joining me today on this episode. I'm happy to have you here.
I am so excited. I am pumped to be here.
Me too, especially about our topic today, which we're talking about Bridgerton, and I'm so excited because people have been talking about it nonstop. But we're going to start with the three questions I ask every guest I have. So the first one is, what is your favorite TV show?
This one was so hard. I had like a difficult time because I'm not the type of person who has a favorite of all time. I like have favorites for particular moods and particular like times in my life. But I have to say that like my default has become The Haunting of Hill House. I just think it's such a beautiful show. It's like the perfect combination of like scary and interesting and family drama, but also like psychological thriller. I just think it's such a well done TV show. So that's going to be my answer for this particular time.
Wow, that is a really good answer. I haven't heard anyone say that it's their favorite.
I know. I've been listening to your podcast and I've been shocked.
I know. It's seriously an incredible show. And honestly, like the follow-up, not related, but like the follow-up one was really good too. So
yeah, it was.
Yeah. So what about your favorite movie?
So I was thinking kind of in line with the topic that we're talking about today. I have to go with Little Women and Pride and Prejudice are just like classics. They're so good. I recently like just watched it with my partner, and he like, I was expecting him to be like, yeah, that's okay, it's good, it's kind of, he was fully into Pride and Prejudice, said it was one of his favorite movies, and I was just like, it's just a classic. Everyone loves that movie for a reason, because it's just so good. It's just so good.
It's so good. And has he seen Little Women?
I'm working on it. We're going to get to that one soon. I'm very excited because that one also is just, both versions, the one that recently came out and then the older one, I think are just really, really great. It's when you have a story that's just so classic and so like relatable, I guess, even though it's set in like a period, like it's a period piece. I feel like there's a lot of about it that's relatable and a lot about it that like people still connect to, and I think that's why these movies and these stories are still so successful. And I mean, we could talk forever about Jane Austen and the female gaze and how that's such exactly. A really cool way to structure things, but for another time.
And the last brief question we have is, if you wish you created one film or TV series, which would it be and why?
There's been one movie that's stuck in my head for some reason, and it's one of those that I'm like, dang it, I wish I could watch it twice. And I feel like this is gonna be a weird one, but it'll be understandable but weird. Have you seen The Prestige yet?
Oh no. Okay, I saw it a while ago and I've been meaning to rewatch it, but I haven't.
I don't know why. I know like Christopher Nolan is like an amazing director and he has so many other movies that are also so good, but I don't know what it was about The Prestige that stuck in my head. And it's like one of those where it's like, I wish I could watch it for the first time again. Mm-hmm. It's just so, I think he's a brilliant, brilliant person anyway, director, producer, whatever. But like, I think it's partially because it was so unexpected. Like, I didn't expect a movie about magicians to be this good. Really, truly, I didn't. but it's definitely one of those things where it's like, wow, you can really see like how creative his like brain is with this kind of stuff in this particular movie, because you don't expect it to be so fun and so cool and so heart, like your heart gets beating really fast, mm-hmm. and then it is, and yeah, it's just a great movie.
Yeah, I've heard people say it's like top three, top five of Christopher Nolan's movies. Like Tenet came out recently and people didn't really like it, some people, and people still talk about The Prestige. I hear it all the time.
I think it's like probably my favorite. It goes back and forth between Inception and The Prestige, yeah. But like I think Prestige is probably my favorite.
Yeah,
which may be controversial, but whatever.
Good choices though. Okay, so now we're going to talk about Bridgerton. So before we start, how would you describe the plot of Bridgerton?
I mean, this one's a pretty like classic. I think this was the description that people were talking about when it first came out. It's like Pride and Prejudice meets Gossip Girl. But I don't think that's quite, I don't think that's quite true. Partially, I'm going to just say this at the outset. I like Bridgerton a lot. I think it was a really fun show. I really hesitate to connect it to Pride and Prejudice as like, I think Pride and Prejudice is a brilliant movie. It's the story comes from a brilliant author. Yeah. And I'm not saying the person who wrote this book and this series isn't brilliant. I think they did a really great job, but it's more of a soap opera, I think, than like Pride and Prejudice is. So definitely like I see the connection in Gossip Girl 100%. Right. I would say that it's just Gossip Girl in like a period piece. It's the period piece version of Gossip Girl. That's how I would personally like describe it.
I think people just compare it to Pride and Prejudice because it's a period piece. I don't think there's any like other reason. I mean, there's romance, but it's not the same in any way. It's very different. It's, I don't know. I feel like a part of Bridgerton is almost a little bit like satirical with like the music and like, it's different. It's very different than Pride and Prejudice. And then also there's a little twist in Bridgerton, and this is not like Pride and Prejudice, but the people in power are actually people of color.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And honestly, a really good twist.
Well, I just thought it was interesting to see like a more diverse period piece. Like they're just like, they're just kind of like, fuck historical accuracy. Like we're actually going to put like people of color just because we can. And I think that's always a fun thing to do. It's like they simultaneously did that. And then they also kind of like, I read an article about how like someone was talking about written by a person of color about how they wish they had just not said anything about it, like not made it a big deal and just like had it be the truth of this period piece. Like people of color are just in power. We don't need to explain it away. And then they did, and they didn't do a good enough job. Like they didn't fully like give it enough. Like if you're going to explain it and if you're going to like draw attention to it, you need to do it in a way that is more like full bodied. And I think they just kind of were like, oh, he married the queen, and then she as a person of color brought other people into power. And then they didn't talk about like how there could still be racism even though the queen is like a person of color. And like someone was talking about, it's like they did a good job, but they could have done a better job. Like it either you have to fully go into it and acknowledge it and give a full bodied like explanation, or you just like say this is just how it is, we're not going to acknowledge it, this is just the truth of this story. And I think I kind of agree with that. I kind of don't. I obviously can't like speak on behalf of like communities I'm not a part of, but like I definitely think this was an interesting way to go. And then Shonda Rhimes of course is just
right, incredible.
Incredible. And so it's like, of course she went this route. I'm not surprised at all. And like, I do think she did it some justice. I think she did a good job. I think she could have maybe done a better job, but I still like, you know, she obviously knows what she's doing. You know, she obviously had a plan. She knows what she's doing and she wanted to go like full force with it. So like, it's always great to see that.
Right. And was there anything that compelled you to watch the show? Initially.
You?
Me. Yes, I did. I did rant about it and I finished it really quick. So
I mean, it's hard not to want to watch, but I love taking in art and works and TV shows and movies that are produced by people of color. I just think that, like, you know, there's not a lot, unfortunately, and you need to just support people of color who are doing a good job in the field, who are coming up in the field, and you need to just, like, give those perspectives a chance. And I think that the best way to do that as consumers of TV and of movies is to watch those things.
Exactly.
But that's obviously not the only reason, because Shonda Rhimes is obviously wildly successful. It's lovely to see a Black woman on, like, as a producer and see her. She's been so successful so many times. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but she is the person who did Grey's Anatomy, yes, right?
That's her.
I know she did Scandal, which is also just a really good show, and now Bridgerton, and I know she has others. I'm just, like, blanking on them right now. But it's just, like, it's so fun to see. You can kind of see the similarities in all the shows, the way that she writes them. Mm-hmm. And I actually think she's brilliant. I think she does fall into the more soap opera-y, like, realm of TV. But I know that she produces good work. And so when I saw that it was Shonda Rhimes, I was like, all right, I have to, like, give this a try. You were, like, on my ass about watching this show because you knew I was gonna like it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, I have nothing better to do. It's quarantine. I'm stuck in Seattle alone. Like, I might as well. And I'm so glad that I did, because it was such a fun show. I think I finished it in, like, 2 days.
Right. Yeah, I did too. And also, every person I know was talking about it, like, online. My best friend was talking to me about it, and I was like, okay, finally I'll watch it. And I was like, is this going to be overhyped? I don't know if it's going to be overhyped, but I personally don't think so. What do you think about that?
I also don't think it was overhyped, but it's because I think the way that people were hyping it was true to the show.
Right.
Like, no one was out here saying, like, this is a masterpiece. This is so, like,
Right. Just,
it is, like, a work of art. It's, you know, they weren't, like, giving it, you know, they were like, this is a Shonda Rhimes show. You know what you're getting, and you get what you are going in for. And I think that's why, like, I don't think it was overhyped. I think people were hyping it up for exactly the reason that it was good, which is, you know, attractive people, a really interesting and fun, like, storyline. And, like, you know, it's kind of a bit of escapism. And I think that's kind of why it wasn't overhyped for me. It's because people were hyping it up for very true to the show reasons.
Right. And, like, would you say that it's popular because it's, like, there's attractive actors and it's fun to watch, or are there other things?
Oh, I think that there's other things. I think that, like, I think for the same reason that everyone likes romantic comedies and you like to see the struggle of people getting together, like, that is obviously a huge part of this. You know, there's the suspense, there's the will they, won't they, they're going back and forth. Sometimes it gets really annoying, I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. Just because you're, like, tearing your hair out, just, like, just talk to each other and everything will be solved. But, like, it's definitely, like, I think that's just a very common across the board, like, people like watching that. I mean, it's just interesting. I think people just have an interest in seeing the mechanics of, like, people mm-hmm. getting together. And I think it's just a fun thing for people to watch.
And I'll say it again, I will. And I'm not saying they're enemies, but it's kind of like an enemies to lovers trope.
Yeah.
And there's something so exciting to me about that, because there's so much tension between them. And yeah. You know, they, like, you can just feel it. Like, you can feel, like, they want to just get together, but they don't want to prove, like, they don't want to be the first one to approach them and make it really awkward. And that's what makes Simon and Daphne, like, so interesting. Like, because,
well, also, like, it's a credit to the actors, because their chemistry on screen was just so good. Like, they did a great job of, because I agree, I think it's kind of like enemies to lovers, but it's also like enemies to, like, middle piece of, like, co-conspirators, and then they hate each other a little bit, and then finally they're like, okay, we're good, we're chill, we love each other. That, like, which was really, like, interesting to watch, for sure.
Right. And who are your favorite characters in the show?
I really, like, so I'm horrible with names, so now I need to look at my list of character names.
Okay, no problem. I'm the same.
Oh, Lady Danbury gave me queen shit vibes every time she went on screen. We love a powerful unmarried woman.
Yes, and she was just like checking Simon the whole way. She was like, are you an idiot? Yeah, you are, you're an idiot.
It's so good. There's something about, like, to me personally, like, I have always hated the trope of, like, the spinster woman, the unmarried, sad, like, destitute, like, she didn't get a man, and so now she's a saddled lady. So, like, I love it when they flip the tables, and, like, she's, like, a powerhouse, not afraid to call people on their shit, definitely, like, in a position of, like, wealth and stature, so, like, I love that. I always love seeing that. We love powerful unmarried women. It's such a vibe. And I like Penelope.
I love her.
And a lot of it does have to do with the the fact that, like, spoiler alert, she is what?
Lady Whistledown.
I'm horrible with names. She's Lady. It's been a second since I've seen the show, so all of the names are, like, I've completely forgotten them.
Yeah.
But the fact that Penelope is Lady Whistledown, it makes her character so much more interesting. Like, looking back, like, I can see the choices that she had to make. And I just think it's so, like, cool. Mm-hmm. I also just think it's cool because it's like she knows she wouldn't be accepted because of the way that she looks. And so she takes control of the situation in this other way, which I love that. I think that's cool because she's not, like, accepting her fate. She's like, no, I'm going to try to figure out a different way to control the situation. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I loved so many characters in this show. I feel like it's hard not to sometimes relate to them. I think that I can relate a lot to, like, Eloise and Penelope in the way of, like, they're kind of just, like, there, but they have a lot of things to say, but people aren't really listening to them, sort of thing. And I feel like Eloise is just like, oh, I'm so tired of all these, like, you know, like, what, like, the balls, like, I don't want to go to a ball, I don't want to meet a person, I just want to, like, be myself and, like, have a cigarette on a swing set and, like, just do my own thing. And I just think I love her character, and I'm excited to see what they do with, like, her and Penelope especially, because I feel like there's so much to say about them that hasn't been said yet. And also, I think Anthony is an extremely, or Anthony, extremely interesting character.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. But it's just like what happens at the end is very interesting, especially because I think he's the oldest one, the oldest man in the family. And I just think, like, what happens with him and, like, that girl, like, the prostitute or whatever, like, it's kind of heartbreaking. I felt for him, honestly. Like, I was like, I feel bad for him. I know he's an asshole, but, like, I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do with him and, like, in accordance to, like, the family history, like, see if they do that, a little more background. I would love to see more background. I don't know.
I felt for her more than I felt for him.
Mm-hmm.
I just have such a problem with his... I'm getting heated just thinking about him already. So when you asked me to do this podcast episode, I was like, okay, maybe I should rewatch the show. Cause again, like, my memory is shit. So I was like, all right, I'm going to rewatch this. But the first episode, like, the amount of Anthony I had to, like, take in, I was like, nope, I forgot how much I hate this person. I can't, like, right. And it was literally, I think, he was so ready to, like, give his sister to this crusty old creep, and he basically blocked every other eligible suitor saying no one is good enough for you, but then this crusty old guy is, like, it's just so annoying. And his holier than thou, like, I'm better than everyone and you're too good for people, is just always so annoying, especially because he was literally, like, he had a side piece that he treated kind of horribly. And that's kind of why I felt for her, because it's like, you know, he does have the power as the eldest, as the head of the house, to, like, at least, like, take care of her monetarily. Like, I don't necessarily, I know that, like, in this world, like, he couldn't, like, be with her, but, you know, at least to take care of her. And he kind of, like, I don't know what it was, but he's got some issues. Like, he's got to work out his problems, because he's got, like, superiority issues. He has also inferiority issues at the same time. And, like, he's, you know what it reminds me of? I read this book in high school that has, like, it's just, like, stuck in a part of my brain because I can't get over it. But, like, I read this book called Age of Innocence. Mm-hmm. And he reminds me of the main character, because the main character, like, is with this woman that he doesn't really love, but that society is pressuring him to marry. But he very much loves this other person. He has every opportunity to go marry this other person. It's not like it would be the end of the world if he did. He'd probably lose his societal standing a little bit, but, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. He decides not to. He then marries this other girl, and then he cheats on his wife with this girl that he's obviously in love with, and then everyone gets hurt in the end because he was too much of a wimp to make a decision.
Right.
And that's what Anthony reminds me of. It's like, he can't make a decision because he's too obsessed with himself to, like, not hurt other people. And he does the same thing with Daphne by, like, completely, like, shutting down any, like, eligible suitor. And then by the time he's already, like, ruined her chances, he now has to, like, give her away to this crusty old guy who literally is a pedophile. Like, and I'm just like, you know, it's just, I hate that. I hate that so much. I have no sympathy for him unless he, like, figures his shit out.
The only reason I say that I feel for that girl that he was with for a little bit. And he messed up in more ways than one. And it obviously came to bite him in the ass in the last episode. But the reason I feel is, like, I think it was one of the last scenes when they're, like, his whole family is, like, standing outside, and I think Simon and Daphne, like, are leaving because they are together now. And it's like his younger brother has a woman too, and like, oh, his sister's leaving, and like, everyone kind of has their own path, and it just seems like he is so lost, because he's a lost cause, honestly. Yeah. Unless he fixes himself. And I don't know, I found it really interesting. That's all.
I like the whole time, this is funny because I know that this probably didn't exist back in, or maybe even in this world, but the whole time I was watching this show, like, every time that episode ends, I'm always just like, these people really need therapy. These people really need therapy, because, like, dang.
Yeah, sir. I mean,
they all need help.
so many things about them.
I actually want to talk about Eloise, because I know a lot of people really like her, and I also really like her. God, she gives me, like, I'm not like other girl vibes, and it's just like, I'll admit you were. It is a awful period of my life, cringe to the max, but, like, I can see why, and that's why, like, I identify with her, because, like, I can see obviously why people want to be like, I'm not, like, right, like, there's a lot about what I thought and what I believed that I really did think other women wouldn't agree with. I thought that I was really not like other girls because I didn't want to do this and I didn't want to do that, and this is girly and I'm not girly and whatever. Patriarchal bullshit. But Eloise gives me that vibe, because the way that she goes after Daphne sometimes about, like, the way that she wants to live her life is, like, a little much. The way that she even goes after Penelope, that one hurt me.
Oh.
I was like, this isn't fair. Like, Eloise can be, you know, the queen that she is and not want to get married and want to get an education and do whatever, but I don't think that, like, it hurt me to see her hurt other people because they didn't agree with the way that she, like, it's not that they were saying that she couldn't do those things, it's just that they were like, that's dope for you, but, like, that's not what I want. And she would kind of, like, though, honestly, it really sucked to see her, like, go after Penelope, like, the way that she did. Yeah. So I like her, but also, like, then I'm not like other girls vibes gave me, like, some serious, like, cringe factor that, like, I couldn't, like, fully root for her, because I was like, Oh, you still have to grow up a little bit, sweetie. Like,
well, yeah, I was actually just going to say that because I 100% agree with you. I got the same vibes, like the whole, like, she kind of thinks that like her way is the only way and she was just judging other people. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like she's so young and I think that the next season, again, there's so much to say. There's so much to say. There's so much to, hopefully if they do it well, they'll develop her and Penelope a little bit. I don't know. I think that they can do a lot with them, but Penelope, it was just heartbreaking. I think there was a scene, God, it has been a while, but a scene where like she wanted to dance with someone, I think.
Wait, it was with Daphne's younger brother. I don't remember what his name is.
Yeah, oh my God. She had like a crush on him and she really wanted to dance with him and he kind of just was like, no. And like, I felt really bad. But
I'm so interested to see like what becomes of her, honestly, because it's like, I wonder how she's gonna, because like she's it's interesting because she could have easily like used her position as Miss Lady Whistledown to like kind of skew, and she did. I mean, let's not lie, I mean she did expose that one girl for being pregnant,
Marina.
Yeah, so like we're not going to say that she didn't use her powers to benefit herself, but like she does and she doesn't at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for the most part she's a pretty fair, like she attacks everyone pretty fairly because she went after her own family too, so it's not like she didn't, right? I just like wonder, is there going to come a time where she will need to do like an expose on herself to keep her identity a secret? Is there going to come a time where, like, I'm just very interested in a lot of ways. I like that we know who Lady Whistledown is.
I was honestly a little bit shocked that the last episode of season one, we found out who it was, because that opens so many doors. Like you were just saying, like now Penelope, who's like kind of a little more, I guess, shy than the other characters, which makes it a good, I guess, reveal. Like now we have to learn like her little tricks and how she keeps it undercover and what she actually does. Who, like, how does she find out about, like, it's so much more interesting. And I think like that placement was good, even though I didn't expect to know.
I didn't expect it either. But honestly, like, you know, I think it's good. And then we don't end up with like a Gossip Girl situation in which the writers don't even know who Gossip Girl is. And so they like spin a wheel and say, okay, Dan, like this is
Gossip Girl spoiler.
Oh, whoops. Spoiler.
They didn't know who Gossip Girl was until really.
They didn't. I think they like kind of had an idea, but then the show got really popular, so the seasons went on longer than they thought it was gonna go, and so they didn't even quite, like, they had an idea of who they wanted it to be, and then the seasons got a little bit more complicated, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh shit, and then they have to just go with somebody. Right. It didn't make a lot of sense because of what had happened in the season, so I think that like they're avoiding it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because they are like, okay, no, this is who Lady Whistledown is,
right?
And now we have to stay true to that like reveal, and I think that that's really cool,
right?
But
and generally speaking, or it could be specific, like what is your favorite part of the show?
That's a hard one.
And if you don't have a thought, I have one.
Okay, well, I have, like, there's this couple things that, like, are in my head, but I'm going to have you go first, because, like, that's a hard question.
It's very hard, and there are many things that I like about the show, but the one thing that was surprising, and the one thing that I actually really appreciated, and I have never seen it talked about, really, in a show, especially, mm-hmm. like, a period piece, except, like, Sex Education, but the whole, like, women have no idea about their bodies sort of thing, and you see the struggle that Daphne has. And honestly, for a long time, and I'm sure you will agree and many people will agree, we were really like frustrated with how Simon was handling it. he wasn't communicating to her like, oh, this is how a child is made, and this is how I'm, this is why I'm acting this way when we're having sex. And it literally infuriated me to no end. But I do appreciate that, like, they're having this conversation about it in the show. Like, Daphne has no clue, and Simon is over here like, I'm not going to communicate to you about this, but I'm just going to manipulate you during sex. It was so interesting and probably one of the best parts of the show for me.
I got to stop you on the manipulation piece. So I agree with you. I think if I had to, like, pinpoint something, that would probably be my favorite. The reason I was hesitating is because of the complicated situation.
Yeah.
With Simon. Like, I love that they, like, exposed the Regency era for, like, you know, women were kind of in the dark about themselves, their bodies, what their lives were going to be like once they left the house. Like, this is something that is, like, a common theme. And this is the first time I think that it was talked about in the sense of, like, sex, right? I don't think Simon manipulated Daphne. And I think that's going to be a very, like, controversial thing to say, but I really don't think he did. I think he just thought she knew. I think he thought she knew what was happening. Truly. And I think it's because not only are the women not told shit, but the men aren't told shit either. Like, they're not told about, like, what the women know. There's no communication at all on either side. And I think that's where it can seem like he was manipulating her, right? But I think he said as much. He's like, I told you I couldn't give you children. Like, what did you think was happening? And I think that was, like, not necessarily a manipulation. I think it was very much a complete and total misunderstanding, because literally, and I think this is why, like, yes, they were the center of the show, but sometimes, like, they were not my favorite because
they're a little dumb.
Their lack of communication made me want to throw things so many
times. You have a really, really good point, because when you say it like that, it's like there were so many times that they would show Simon and Daphne having sex, right? And we would see that happen, right? And we clearly see Daphne's face, and mm-hmm. she looks confused. So then it's like, okay, why doesn't she straight on ask, why are you doing that? What does this mean? I don't understand why you're doing that. And then they have the conversation, right?
Yeah, and then I could also say, like, why doesn't Simon ever, like, explain what he means by I can't give you children?
Right.
Like, that's a really dumb, not to mention that one of my favorite TikToks on this earth currently is, I'm not going to say the word because I'm going to try to not, like, be 100% R-rated here, but, like, okay. It was basically, we all know that, like, the reason that Simon doesn't want kids is because he wants to end his family line because his dad is really fucking abusive. Like, he's really abusive,
right?
Very, extremely neglectful and awful. I'm not gonna say he's not, because oh my god. And so he doesn't want to, like, continue the family line because he wants the Hastings line to end with him, because he wants to get back at his dad. All right. My favorite TikTok on this earth is basically just calling him out on kind of how weird that is. Like, how strange that, like, getting back at his dad is. And it's basically like, she didn't say it in this way, but she's like, I won't give you children because my dad was mean to me. He was mean to me. And it's so funny. But, like, the reality is, it's like, and I think Lady Danbury says it best. It's like, you're making yourself miserable to get back at your dad.
Right.
But, like, that's not really getting back at your dad. You're just making yourself miserable. Like, he's dead. Like,
mm-hmm.
I personally think the best thing he could do is just live his best life as a huge, like, F you to his dad, because mm-hmm. his dad thought he was going to amount to nothing. But, like, it's such a, like, I don't want to say he manipulated Daphne into being with him, even though he knew that she wanted children. He really did try to stay away from her. Didn't work. They ended up getting caught by her brother, who, again, Anthony does a stupid ass thing and forces, like, a duel because, for what? I don't know, because he's a man and he has testosterone and he needs to fight. I don't know. Anthony's messed up.
That was a really dumb decision.
So stupid. And it forces his sister into this relationship with this guy who doesn't want kids.
Right.
I don't think either of them are at fault there. I blame Anthony 100%. I really think that, like, if they had communicated, which was their fault, you know, Simon tells her why he doesn't want to have kids, Daphne could be like, hey, that's dumb. Maybe you should live your best life, as, you know, and flip the middle finger to your dad that way. Like, you don't have to end the family line. Like, that's stupid. Could have been an easy, very loving, very bond creating like moment for them. But no, neither of them had the balls to talk to each other about shit, because they never do. They never have. There was no communication in their relationship the whole time. And then, like, I gotta bring it up, like, it results in like a marital rape. I hate to, like, this was like a controversy. I know that everyone was talking about it and it was really hard for me to watch, and man, I wish they talked about it better. That was the one thing that really disappointed me. I wish they had talked about, like, because this is like a thing, like, it's a thing in the real world. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, people are like, oh, you're married, so like, that's not real.
That's false.
Stupid, right? And so I had, like, there was an opportunity in the show that they didn't take, which I'm disappointed in, that to like talk about like the fact that sex can be non-consensual even if you're married to the person. Because 100% what Daphne did was not okay.
I was so mad at her.
Like, that's rape. Like, I'm not going to qualify it as anything else. I was on Simon's side. Like, I was on his side at that point.
Right. Like, and then up until that point, I was like, I don't really like Simon. And then
it was so frustrating. Like, I felt for Daphne, because it's frustrating to not know anything about your body and your life and then have to kind of stumble blindly through that part. Right.
Right.
But that is not okay. Like, that is not okay. And I was on Simon's side after that. Near the end of the show, like, when they reconciled, I wasn't satisfied. Because I think she deserved a little bit more of a reckoning.
And honestly, maybe it'll come up. I think it might, because I feel like Simon, I understand if he holds a grudge against that. I would not reconcile with them at the end of the season, but I'm curious if they bring it up again.
I just think that they're extremely, like, I was rooting for them all the way up until that point. And then I was like, this is just a really toxic relationship.
It is.
Because at some point, like, all the way up until they, like, it's almost like they figured it out, right? They were finally able to figure it out, and then that happened. And it's like, nope, this is the same cycle of, like, a problem arises, they don't communicate, somebody hurts the other person, and it's just gonna keep on going. And so, like, the fact that there was no real, like, reckoning and reconcile, there was just the reconciliation piece, is kind of what, like, makes me uninterested in them as a couple now. Like, I'm just kind of uninterested. And so, like, I'm interested in the second season because I know that they're not going to focus on those two anymore. They're kind of going to be background, because that's the way that the book series goes, right? Like, every book is really focused on a different person in the family. Or at least that's what I heard. And that's kind of what's a little bit of a redemption for the second season for me. It's just because, like, I didn't know if I wanted to sit through more of, like, Simon and Daphne's bullshit. Like, at some point, the toxicity gets boring. Shonda Rhimes, it's very classic in her shows that, like, she tends to sometimes, like, really bring it into that soap opera land where people, like, there's just an endless cycle of people dying or, like, toxicity. And, like, that's when I get bored. Like, I got bored with Scandal. I got bored with Grey's Anatomy. And I'm hoping I don't get bored with Bridgerton, because I truly, like, do enjoy it. But this thing with Simon and Daphne, like,
right.
Man, this is probably gonna, like, at some point I can sense that, like, the show's gonna be too much for me and I'm gonna want to, like, back out. But that's okay. Like, you know, this show serves a purpose, just like her other show should serve a purpose of just, like, entertainment.
Right. I agree with
you. Entertainment, it's fun, and some people can stick with it all through every single season, and some people, like me, can't, and that's okay. That's not a huge deal. But yeah, the toxicity cycle with Simon and Daphne was a lot. It was a lot. And the rape was just like, that was just too much for me. And if they had resolved it in a way that was, like, it felt like a resolution for Daphne, but not a resolution for Simon.
Right. Agreed. And like revenge a little bit.
Hmm?
It felt like revenge.
It felt like revenge a little bit. And I hate that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I will say that Simon's character had some great lines. I'm sure everyone knows the, like, I burn for you line was, like, such a huge thing that even SNL picked up on it.
And even Phenomenal, like, you know, the brand Phenomenal made a special with that. I really wanted it.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then the way that he explained to the queen, like, why he loves her was really good.
I meant to bring that up. Oh, I love that scene. I think it's one of his best scenes ever. It's just so compelling because Daphne's sitting there and she's like, we should get married now because we love each other. And then he goes on this whole rant and he's like, no, this is exactly how I feel. And this is the first time we ever see him actually communicate. And she's just like in awe because she's like, wow, he loves me. But also communication. Ooh, that's crazy.
I literally, like, it was like, so you're capable of communicating. Like, that was a moment. But, like, I hope I don't mispronounce it. Reggae Jean Page. Is that what it is?
I think so.
It's a very French name.
Yeah.
Just so good. He's such a good actor.
He is.
Literally, he did that line, like, the way that he delivered that scene.
Oh, my God.
Good. It was so powerful. It was so good. So, yeah, I have my misgivings about Bridgerton, obviously, as you can tell. But, like, as a show overall, like, I think that it's, like, it's good for what it is. It provides entertainment. It's a form of escapism. And it's, like, you know.
Totally. If a show can make me care about more than just the love interests, then I'm there for it. And honestly, I love the side characters more than I love the main characters, and that for me is enough, especially because one of the best side characters, in my opinion, is probably going to be at the center of attention in the next season. So that really got me excited for the next season. And are you excited? Do you have any predictions? Do you have any thoughts about it?
I'm definitely excited, like I said, because Daphne and Simon will not be the center, because, like, I can't do any more of their back and forth. I just cannot. And I agree with you. I think it's also evident in, like, I'm pretty sure the first half of this podcast, we don't even talk about Daphne and Simon at all.
Talk about that.
I think that's very, like, you know, it just goes to show that, like, if you have a show that can make you care about all the characters, not just the main characters, and even, like, maybe the main characters aren't your favorite, like, that's actually a success in my eyes.
I
do. I'm excited for the second season. I'm a little worried because people think that it's going to focus on Anthony, and you know how I feel about him. So I'm kind of like, I'm like, do I want to watch a whole season that's focused on the character that I hate the most? Possibly. If I see a lot of, like, personal growth, I would be interested in watching that, like, sort of character arc. I think that's really interesting. But I'm most excited. The thing that I'm most excited about is watching a season where Whistledown exists, but we know who she is, and seeing that kind of play out is the thing that I am personally most excited about. Like, I don't really care anymore about the romance stuff. I really just want to, like, watch a show where you know who the Gossip Girl is, and you have to see her make decisions about who to expose and when. That's gonna be so fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, and the last question, and I ask every person this, is what is one thing you want to see more of in TV shows and film, or both, or the industry, or something around that?
Oh, man. Well, I think I mentioned this earlier, like, I would love to see more shows and movies written by people of color, from the perspective of people of color, because I think that is truly, like, lacking. We've been getting so much more of that now, which is so, like,
right.
And it's created a lot of really amazing TV shows and really amazing movies. I mean, like, we have Key and Peele, not both of them. Jordan Peele is making all these amazing, like, horror movies.
He's so talented. Yeah. Like,
now I'm blanking on literally everyone, but, like, there's so many. What's that one woman who made
Michaela?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, she's amazing.
So good. And I want to see like a lot more of that like perspective in film and TV, because there really isn't that much. And I think there needs to be more, especially from younger people. I think that it's like, there's so much great content that could be created that if these POC creators were given a chance or given a stage or given a the support that they needed, we could see a lot of really cool, really new stories that we haven't seen before.
Right.
And also just obviously like more representation in film and TV. Like I'd love to see just less all white male casts. Right. That would be great. That would be really cool. So I'm definitely like leaning heavily towards like more representation. The more representation, the cooler stuff we're gonna get. So that's definitely what I would like to see more of.
Right. And the creator, sorry, I didn't say her full name earlier. The creator that we were talking about was Michaela Cole, I think.
I think so. I think
amazing, that's amazing creator. She has a lot of good stuff on HBO. I've only seen I May Destroy You. 100% recommend. And I everything you said was 100% true. And unfortunately, especially with the Black community, like their canon is hidden, unfortunately, which I recently found out about and did some research. So, I mean, taking the time to research and honestly find things that people don't necessarily talk about and watching them and finding directors that people are like overlooking because of these white directors that get so much money, like go and find other things, you know, like I think that's something that I'm learning.
I mean, this is a side note, but I literally started finding, all of a sudden, like Netflix started like releasing these movies and TV shows that are primarily Black led, Black created. And oh my God, there's like, this is just one of those things that it's like, I think you're right. Like a lot of their stuff was kept out of the mainstream.
It was.
And it's really a shame because a lot of what they've created, I mean, as a person of color, like I've actually identified with it a lot more than any of the stuff that I've seen that's made by white people. Like if you ask me what my favorite sitcom is, like it's not gonna, like I used to think it was like How I Met Your Mother, but now I would say it's this really great sitcom called Half and Half, or maybe Girlfriends. Like
I knew you were gonna say Girlfriends.
I truly like, it's crazy. And I just watched a movie called Love for Love and Basketball that like I know that everyone who is like a person of color is gonna like be like, you just watch that? It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. And so like, yeah, we're definitely missing out on some really, really great content because it's kept out of the mainstream or it's just not greenlit. Like nobody's letting it be created. So I'm hoping that, you know, we're trending in a direction of diversity and trending in a direction of more representation in these industries.
Exactly. And this was awesome. This was a great episode. And thank you for coming again. And everyone, thanks for listening. Woo!
Bye.
Bye.